We had our coffee today. All right, hey, well, it's great to see you guys today. My name is Reed, if we haven't met yet already. It's great to see you guys. We're going to keep this outside church thing going all the way through to the new year, okay? We're loving this. And it's great to see you guys today. Hey, real quick, if you haven't seen them already, we got a couple QR codes on each table. And feel free to scan those with your smartphone. You'll be able to follow along in the lyrics, Spanish and English, as well as opportunities to give and all that. All right? I don't know about y'all, but it's been pretty hot these days, huh? It's really hot. If it gets above 75 degrees, I'm miserable. I'm like, I'm out. I'm taken out. And I don't know about you guys, I need a little bit of a refresher today. I need things to kind of spiritually, right, raise the temperature too. I need some strength to get me through the rest of the day. I know that this heat is taking me out. Some days are harder than others. You're working hard. Kind of get home and maybe a little irritable, right? Anybody feeling me up there? Maybe I'm the only one. Okay, you got to wear the mask and you're like sweating under the mask. So I found this verse. I just want to pray this over you guys today while the band comes up here. This is out of Colossians. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength that God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that He has for us. Amen. We got some stuff that's bright and beautiful today, and I'm just going to pray that strength over you guys today to endure the unendurable, whatever that means for you, whatever you're going through right now. I pray that over you guys this morning, okay? You guys ready to worship? Let's do it. Stand up. Let's worship.
Awesome. Well, I've gotten to meet quite a few of you this morning. I know we have lots of visitors. I've gotten to meet a big group from Sacramento. Woo! Who found me early this morning to set up gear. So welcome again. We're so glad to have you guys joining us. If you're new to this, I know we also have a lot of our Spanish brothers and sisters come also. So there'll be a little bit of some bilingual and worship this morning just to include our whole church family together. So again, those lyrics are available in either language on your table there. So, all right, let's turn our heart and praise to Him this morning.
Resurrection life. the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice and the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. And you got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, same old fight. We've all run with the thing we know just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. Maybe you got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior.
Spanish here. There's the translations there in English. You can see what the song is saying. If you haven't been familiar with these songs, feel free to just sing along with us.
Mi Señor, mi única verdad está en ti, eres mi luz y mi salvación, mi único amor, eres tu Señor, y por siempre te alabaré, eres todo poderoso, eres grande y majestuoso. Siempre te alabaré, eres todo
tuvieras fe como un granito de mostaza. Eso lo dice el Señor. Si tuvieras fe como un granito de mostaza. Eso lo dice el Señor. Tú le darías a las montañas, muévanse, muévanse. Si le darías a las montañas, muévanse, muévanse. Si tuvieras fe como un granito de mostaza, eso lo dice el Señor. Si tuvieras fe como un granito de mostaza, eso lo dice el Señor. Tú le darías a las montañas, muévanse, muévanse. Su delería a las montañas, muévanse, muévanse. Y las montañas se moverán, 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 se moverán, se moverán, y las montañas se moverán, se moverán, se moverán, y las montañas se moverán. Si tuvieras fe como un granito de mostaza, eso lo dice el Señor. Si tuvieras fe como un granito de mostaza, eso lo dice el Señor. Tú le darías a las montañas, muévanse, muévanse. Tú le darías a las montañas, muévanse, muévanse. Y las montañas se moverán, 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 se moverán, se moverán, y las montañas se moverán, se moverán, se moverán, y las montañas se moverán.
All right, you guys can be seated. I'm going to bring up Pastor Enrique.
You know, there have been a lot of questions about what's happening to the church with this pandemic. Muchas preguntas han tenido acá en el público, ¿qué es lo que está pasando con la iglesia? And I came across a Pew Research survey that they ran, and they found, these are the numbers, and I thought it was very interesting. Encontraron que cuando estaban viendo a ver qué estaba pasando con las iglesias, estos son los números que encontraron. 58% of Christians in America have had absolutely no change with the fact that they could not get together in a normal setting that they were used to. So it didn't change them, 58%. 58% de las personas dijeron que no, que este pandémico no cambió nada a su fe en seguir a Dios, aunque no se están juntando en la iglesia. They found that only 2% found that their faith was actually weaker. Que nomás fueron 2% que dijeron que sí les afectó en una manera negativa. They found that 35% of their faith was stronger. 35% de las personas que no han tenido oportunidad de ir a una iglesia porque han cerrado las iglesias, 35% dijeron que su fe es más fuerte. All this to say that no pandemic, todo que decir que ningún pandémico, nothing that this world will try to throw at the church, ninguna cosa que va contra la iglesia, amen, is going to stop us. Amen. Jesus Christ is on the throne, and he continues, amen, to move through the hearts of his people. Jesucristo está en su reino, y él sigue trabajando entre nosotros para avanzar su reino. So I want to encourage all of you, those of you that came to visit us from other places, God bless you. Un bendición que hemos recibido otros de otras personas, otros lugares, a venir aquí a compartir o a estar aquí con nosotros, recibiendo las cosas del Señor. The thing is, I want to just encourage you, is that God has a plan. Dios tiene un propósito. And no matter what this world offers, cualquier cosa que este mundo nos trae, we know that we walk with the one that was victorious. Sabemos que caminamos con el que él que estaba victorioso. Amen. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for this opportunity that we've had to go outside of our normal to find a place, to find a way to be able to come together in your name, to glorify you, to give you praise and to give you honor, and to give you thanks for what you've done in our lives. Thank you that our body, your body here in America, is actually mostly getting stronger, or at least they're staying where they are. Thank you for that, Lord God, for your faithfulness in their lives. And I pray, God, that you would bless the rest of our time this morning together as we exalt your holy name. And I pray blessings upon Ron, Lord God, as he shares a heart that you have placed in his soul to share with us, God, that would encourage us and strengthen us as we continue on in our journey with you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Dios bendiga.
So let's continue worship and celebrate the greatness of God together.
Yeah. Veils his lovely face. Thank you, John, and the worship band. Let's give them a hand. Marvelous. I think that you're out here every Sunday doing that great work for God, doing that great work for us, and we appreciate it. And I like that last song. What a view, huh? What a view of God. Christ, the solid rock. I want you to picture that right now. Christ as the solid rock. Close your eyes and just view Jesus Christ as a solid rock. Now view him as Enrique kind of led us, sitting on the throne. And that's what we need. We need a proper view of who Jesus Christ is. We need a proper view of who God is. We need a proper view of the life that we live, and that we are living that life through a proper view. How many of you do view life properly? Now, what essentially that means is that you're viewing life through, not through a mask, not through kind of a clogged filter, that you're actually viewing life purely, viewing life as life should be, that you're viewing life through spiritual eyes, not physical eyes, not physical eyes. And that's important because our view of life, our view of Christ and our view of God all kind of link together, don't they? As we view God, as we view Christ, so we will view life on this earth. And as we open up to see more of Jesus Christ, or through the eyes of Jesus Christ, through God's eyes, it's going to change the way we live, will it not? So yes, we need to focus on our spiritual sight, not our physical sight. And so today we're gonna talk about renewing our view. Renewing our view of life, renewing our view of Christ, renewing our view of God. Because again, they all merge together and they're all very, very important to living the life that God desires us to live, living the life that God designs us to live. Without that view, we cannot live that life. Amen? A decade ago, two professors of Baylor University, Paul Froese and Christopher Bader, wrote a best-selling book. I don't know if any of you wrote it. It was entitled America's Four Gods. America's Four Gods. What we say about God and what that says about us. What that says about us. It's a good book. Essentially, it's a survey of how American believers view God, the different ways that they view God. And it came up with four major classes or major ways of viewing God. It's based on a 2005 survey of religious views. And that suggests that we Americans view God four different ways. It's important because, again, our views on politics, our views on morality, our views on cultural issues, our views on scientific issues, again, they're all tied in with our view on God. And the four views of God that the book described are the authoritative God, the benevolent God, the critical God, and the distant God. The authoritative God, the benevolent God, the critical God, and the distant God. Right now, each one of you is thinking, what's my view? Where would I fit in? What class would I be in? Individuals who viewed God as an authoritative God or a benevolent God, they both saw God as taking an active role in the lives of believers. of intervening in the roles of the lives of believers. But they differed in how they viewed, obviously, how they viewed God's activity, how they viewed his intervening. Those who view God as authoritative saw God, a God who intervenes to punish those who do not obey his rules. And interestingly enough, the authors said, these are likely to be white males. White males saw God more as an authoritative God who intervenes to punish those who do not obey his rules. Those who view God actively but benevolent, a benevolent God, sees a God who intervenes to rescue us, to present us with different options, options that are better than the ones that we're thinking or that we're viewing. And interestingly enough, the authors say that these viewers are likely to be female and of all different races, but mostly the females. Individuals who conceive of a God or view a God as critical, a critical God who's non-active, a critical God is not going to be active. It does not intervene in the lives of individuals, but as one who's going to judge them in the afterlife. He's going to wait and then drop the bomb, right? Statistically, they said, the authors, that black American males are more likely to hold this view. It's interesting how they can break it down into classes like that and genders. And those who believe in a distant God view a God who set the entire universe in motion, but then he let it go. He let it go. He doesn't intervene. He has no engagement with humanity at all. He just let it all go naturally. And Americans who hold this view are likely to have completed more years of education than those in the other three groups. So they even break it down to educational level, which I thought was interesting. And I also thought so much for higher education. So there we have it, an authoritative God, a benevolent God, a critical God, and a distant God. And this is how we Americans view God himself. And I'd say we're in trouble. Actually, God can be viewed in all four of those, kind of mixed into one, right? At different stages of whatever it is you are living or however it is that you are living. But it's important to know, beloved, because how we view God in our minds helps define who we are. One of those songs, I am who, what? You say I am. So, yes, it helps define who we actually believe ourselves to be, which is who we will then become. It helps define who we are. In his incredibly wonderful little book, The Knowledge of the Holy, A.W. Tozer says this. What comes to mind when we think about and view God is the most important thing about us. What comes to mind when we think about or view God is the most important thing about us. He goes on to say, for this reason, the gravest question before the church is always God himself. The question of God himself. And the most portentous fact about any man is not what he at any given time may say, what he at any given time may do, but what he, in the depth of his heart, views God to be like. Because we tend, by a secret law of the soul, to move toward our mental image of God. That's beautiful, not just in the wording, but in the truth behind it. We tend to move, by a secret law of the soul, toward our mental image of God. Our behavior, and then literally who we are is based on our view of God. So, wow, that is important. I'm sure that we all notice that our view of other things in this world changes over time, right? And that's kind of part of the curse of the consequence of sin. The new never lasts, or else it costs too much to renew. But the new never lasts. New houses, they lose their magic after a mortgage payment or two, right? A new car smell generally wears off after a month or two. There's a distinct difference. Honeymoons don't last forever, except for Mary Lou and mine. This last week, we celebrated our 46th anniversary.
And my view of my bride is just as fresh as the first anniversary, the first wedding night, I'll tell you. Anyway, back to it. And even the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, the newness of conversion, the newness of being of the church, wears off way too soon, doesn't it? Needs renewal. The only exception to this erosion, the only exception to this wearing off, is where God does intervene in our lives, is what God seems to do, is his renewing. And thank God that he is a God of renewal, because we need it. We need it so much. We look at what God does in renewing the lives of his children. What I want us to do is look at 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So open up in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because it speaks of how God seeks to renew our views of our life, our views of ourselves, our views of the people around us. And it all will obviously renew our view of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as we begin in verses 1 and 8, it's as if Paul is kind of praying to God as he's writing, as he's being inspired by the Holy Spirit and writing down these words. He's praying to God, Lord, renew our view of this world and ourselves in it, and its ways and our ways in this world. For he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on we may be found naked, we might not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan being burdened, not that we'd be unclothed, but that we'd be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up in life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a guarantee. So the Holy Spirit is the one who renews us. The Holy Spirit allows us to view God appropriately. And I've heard the old view of life in this world described as get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. Which I think is appropriate when you think about the fact that how do we judge our success here in this world? How do we judge our stability? It's measured by the possessions that we have, right? What we have, how good those possessions are in our view of goodness, in the world's view of goodness, but how much we have accumulated things. And that's sad, because that's not the right view of success in life. That's the worldly view, yes. That's the physical eyes viewing, not the spiritual eyes viewing. Because God has called us to walk by faith, not by sight. And faith is walking with our spiritual eyes open, is walking by our spiritual view. And so we need to shift our focus off of the things of this world to the things eternal, to the things of God, to the things of heaven. And focus and trust in God. Our new perspective will seek heavenly treasures, not things of this earth. Heavenly treasures only. And so we pray ourselves, Lord, please renew the way that we see life. Yes, even our life, even this physical body that you have given us. That it is temporal. That we have an eternal one waiting. That you have created for us, waiting in heaven. And Lord, help us to see things as you see them, as we are here on earth, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of all around us and for the benefit of this world, who is groaning just as much as we are for renewal. Help us to look through eternal eyes. As we move on to verses 9 through 15, it's as if Paul is praying, Lord, renew our view of right and wrong. Our view of good and bad, of what is of you and what is evil. For he writes in verse 9, but whether we are at home or whether we are away, we make it our aim to please him. whether we're on this earth or whether we're in heaven. We make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of God, of Christ, so each one may receive what's due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So, yes, there is a judgment aspect of God. God is a God of justice, right? Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others that we are what we are is known to God, and we hope it's known also to our conscience. Drop down to verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. What controls us? The love of Christ controls us. For we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised. That we might, he says, view Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior that he is. And that view is important if we are to live with Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our lives, right? Differently from this world. Because if we truly view Jesus as Lord and Savior, we will be living differently from this world. View Christ correctly, that we might be saved, yes, but that others might be saved as well. And why? The basis of it is love. The love of Christ. So the old motives are going to take us only so far. The things of this world are only going to take us so far. I call them the wrong worldly ways. There are several of them. Works being one of them. We're going to do good so that we can earn what's important. Earn. It's a big one in this world, isn't it? Through our physical eyes and our physical lives. Or we could say fear. We're afraid not to do what's right because we don't want that punishment, that punishing intervention. Or perhaps pride. We've got to do what is right so people will look at us rightly, correctly. That they'll look at us as being good. Or duty. We're supposed to obey, so we're going to do what is right. That's what we will do. Or perhaps insecurity, which is kind of all of those others wrapped in one. These wrong worldly ways all have works as the ultimate foundation to them. And they're all of this world, right? It's viewing through this world's format of works, of earning, of doing. But the new motive is simple, as 5:14 put it. It's love. For the love of Christ controls us. Not the wrong worldly ways. If we truly view God as a God of love, then his love moves us to obey. We obey how? We show God that we love him how? By obeying his commands, right? So yes, love moves us to obey. It motivates us not only to love God, but it motivates us to love others as God loves others as well. Jesus Christ's sacrifice, his grace, his forgiveness, his love prepare us to be more Christ-like, to be more sacrificial, to be more graceful, to be more forgiving, to be more loving. Jesus did not endure the cross for his salvation. He endured it for whose salvation? For our salvation, for the salvation of others. And we have to have that same mindset, not focused on us, but through God, through his Holy Spirit, focused on others. We have our salvation, I pray. Now we're focused on others having their salvation. And so we pray, Lord, please renew our desires to be love as you are love, and to love others as you do, and help us to view others as you do through eyes of love. And that section leads directly into the next one, verses 16 and 17, where Paul seems to be praying as he writes, Lord, renew our view of others, renew our attitude toward others. Verse 16, but a natural man does not accept the things, the natural man does not accept the, no wait, From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. We regard no one according to the flesh. In other words, we view all things differently. Even though we once viewed Christ according to the flesh, we view him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, we view them as a new creation. If they have their salvation, we view them differently. We view them as a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come, along with a new way of viewing. Amen? The old way to approach relationships was selfish in nature. This worldly way is selfish in nature. It's to view things skeptically, doubtfully, judgmentally, critically, fearfully, especially during times like we're going through. But as a Christian, our new mindset gives others, and especially other Christians, the benefit of the doubt. It gives them a second chance. They're deserving of a clean slate. They're worthy of love. They're worthy of trust, just as God deems us worthy of all of these things. And so we pray, Lord, please remove our prejudices and renew. Renew our appreciation for others who are made in your image, who are your image bearers. And all God's people said. And in this last part, 17 through 21, Paul seems to be kind of praying as he writes, Lord, renew our view of ourselves. Renew our view of ourselves. All this, he says in verse 18, is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us then the message of reconciliation. And that's how we have to view it. That is our mission, reconciliation. And again, not just the people of this world, but this world as a whole. And we have to view that mission correctly. So we view ourselves as ambassadors, ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The old perspective is usually out of balance in one of two ways. Either, number one, we see ourselves as worthless human beings because we have kind of a glimpse of what God has done, but we don't keep locked into that. We fall back into seeing through our physical eyes and guilt-tripping ourselves on our quote-unquote piety or holiness. And that's number two. We feel too highly of ourselves. We allow pride, not perhaps self-pity. But both views are too extreme to be new, because they either lead to issues of self-esteem or pride. And that's where our old perception leads us, back to being without God. But we need to keep that new perspective, because we know the truth. And the truth has set us free. We are who God says we are, and we have what God says we have. Just as that song relayed, we are forgiven. We are his ambassadors. We have been reconciled to God. We've been called to reconcile others to God. And so, Lord, please, please, please renew our understanding of who we are in you, and help us to see ourselves in a renewed view as well. And help us to be able to retain that, I pray. And so the last point, renew our view of you, God. Renew our view of who you are. Because much like our relationship with others, how we view God, obviously and drastically, offers our relationship or affects our relationship with him. So what we believe God thinks about us determines how close we are going to actually grow towards God, right? And so we have to have those correct thoughts of who God really is. And I ask you to lean on love. All those other four classes, forget them. Lean on God as love.
If we don't see God with a 2020 vision, it distorts every other area of our lives. How we make decisions, how we fulfill our life's purpose, how we see others, how we relate to others. When we bow our heads to pray, what comes to mind about God? Do we see Him as a loving, just God? Or back in our minds, do we suspect also a cosmic cop? Do we see Him as a loving father? Or one who who's kind of complacent, sitting back in his chair, stroking his white beard, kind of wondering just what we're going to do? Left to ourselves, our view of God is shaped by our life experiences. It's shaped by our beliefs. Yes, it's shaped by our relationships with others. And as a result, too many have an inaccurate perception of God. Because our vision of Him is through the cracked lenses of the world. If we just rely on ourselves, if we just try to look through our physical eyes. But God longs for us to know Him fully. He loves us. He wants a real intimate relationship with us. But how do we see God for who He really is? Well, we know the nature reveals some aspect of God, yeah? Because Paul says in Romans 1:20, right? His eternal power, His divine nature can be seen by what He has created, by what He has made. And we know His word reveals much of who He is, yes. But His word also tells us that God can only be known as He reveals Himself to us. Great. So what does that mean? It's kind of a circular argument. I want you to listen as I'm going to read from the letter that Paul wrote to those in Corinth before this one. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just listen. Verse 6. We speak of wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, things which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him, He wants to show us. For to us, God reveals Himself through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches even the depths of God. It searches all things. For who among men know the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of this world, we have received the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises these all things, yet he is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we are to love with the love of Christ. And we have the mind of Christ in which to view things. I want us to look back at verse 15. He who is spiritual, meaning he or she who has received, as it says in verse 12, the Spirit who is from God. Now, who is that? How many here have received the Spirit who is from God? How many of you here have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if not, please see me afterwards. Or see any of us afterwards? And if you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who have you received as well from God? His Spirit. The Spirit that is in of God, which means that we are now spiritual. The spiritual who Paul is talking about. Which means that we can see spiritual things. We have the capability.
We need to choose that capability. We can see the things of the Spirit. We're now spiritual. We're Spirit-filled. We're Spirit-led. We're Spirit-guided. The Spirit is who connects us with God. The Spirit is the one who reveals the mind of God, reveals the things of God, and allows us to love with the love of God. And the more time that we spend connecting with God through the Holy Spirit, the more spiritual truths will be revealed, and the better our view of God will be. We will see more of what God sees. We will see more of how God sees. We will live more that life that God desires us and has designed us to live. The Spirit also reveals the mysteries of God found right in here, His Word. I'm not saying His Word is worthless by any means. But if you read His words without the Spirit, you are reading it through your physical eyes and your physical mind. And you are perhaps preconceiving certain conclusions, or you are taking what others have told you about what it says and kind of reading it into there. But it's best to be taught by the Spirit. As you sit down and open up God's Word, simply pray, Spirit, show me the truth. Make the mysteries known. Because that's what it says in verse 13, taught by the Spirit. Biblically well read, yes, but it must be spiritually inspired, or it's not going to lead to spiritual growth. One who is spiritual is one who has the mind of Christ. And one can only have the mind of Christ if one has the Spirit of Christ within, the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, Jesus plainly tells his disciples that it would be best for them and it would be best for us if he went away. They had a hard time believing that one, didn't they? If he was not there, why? So then the Father can send the Spirit. Because the Spirit is who we were designed to live within, or have living within us, and to showing us the things of God and showing us God. The more we surrender to the Spirit, as Jesus did fully, the more of God is revealed, and the more our view of God and the view of our lives is renewed. Amen. And so, Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will reveal more and more and more of you to us. So our view of you is true. And our lives may be lived truly for you and for others. We also thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who initiated our salvation. And who showed us, was an example of how to live this life here on earth by the Spirit, purely and fully. Help us to follow him more closely, we pray, because it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Yeah. We close the song together.
I don't want to hear him anymore. Teach me to listen. I don't want to see. Thank you.
will take this beating in my heart and come and finish what you started. When they see me, let them see you, 'cause I just wanna be different. Yeah. I wanna be different. I wanna be changed till all of me is gone and all that remains is a fire so bright the whole world can see that there's something.
Head out here. I just wanted to remind you all that we do post this on Facebook and YouTube kind of like 2 o'clock-ish or just when we can in the afternoon. We try to stream it, by the way. I don't know if it successfully worked today. We're shooting to try to stream this as well at this normal time on Facebook, for Avalon Community Church Facebook page. So just know about that and spread the word for those that aren't able to come and maybe are staying home. We want them to be able to tap into the same resource and worship and learn along with us. So just know that we are doing our best to try to keep up with that part of the world as well. And you can get all that information on our website, avaloncommunitychurch.org. We have all those links there that you can connect and stay connected with us. So we're just going to send you out with a song. But God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your day and weekend. Thanks for coming and joining us.
Great day.